This is CliffCentral.com.
On the 11th of June, I met Dr. Sufana Almashadi, an MIT Sloan School of Management in the Marketing and Innovation Executive Education course. Less than 2 weeks later, on the 24th of June, women in her home country of Saudi Arabia were allowed to drive for the first time in the country's history. In many ways, Dr. Almashadi is a poster child or an ambassador for the modern Saudi woman. She's at MIT as a postdoctoral brain science research fellow and has big plans for herself and the women in her home country. Beyond cars, she's one of the major drivers of the 21st century Saudi woman. Welcome back to the Brain and Brand Show. I am your host, Timothy Maurice, and this is the show where we explore the link between brain power and brand influence. Today's show is part two of a three-part series at MIT Sloan School of Management. The series is a toast to the power of education, vision, self-mastery, and collaboration. In part one, we met Mabel Lee, the founder of Velour Lashes, a Canadian-based luxury eyelash business. Today, I share a conversation with one of the most inspiring people I've ever met, a mother of three, a brain researcher, a wife, and a woman inspired to be a voice in Saudi Arabia's gender transformation, Dr. Sufana Almashadi. After the interview, I'll touch base with an inspiring journalist in Saudi Arabia to see how women are feeling about this monumental moment in gender transformation. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is spearheading the scripting of a new chapter in Saudi Arabia. Vision 2030 is a big part of this shift, designed to diversify the economy, and educating women in a wide range of sectors is a major part of the program. King Salman, the prince's father, began many of these conversations to drive change, but it's the son who's bringing the necessary energy and momentum for change to be kept alive. While many women's rights activists have campaigned and experienced the blunt force of patriarchal discipline for decades to see this day coming, the new dawn is without a doubt a combination of political will along with the tireless sacrifices of gender equality activists. In fact, over the past couple of years, I've met several inspired women from Saudi Arabia, from journalists to scientists, and the one thing they all have in common is respect for the evolving political will. While researching this show, the one thing I've learned is to view Saudi Arabia's gender movement in a broader context. Part of the context includes the regions being the birthplace of Islam, and the fact that Saudi law enforces a strict form of Sunni Islam known as Wahhabism, known for its gender separation rules. In light of the deep religious context, I had a light bulb moment. If under these extraordinary conditions, if sweeping changes are being made there, isn't it possible the world could learn from the Saudi women's rights movement? Before I bring you my conversation with Dr. Almashadi, the one thing I think all countries can learn from Saudi Arabia is how the government is backing couples to grow together. Dr. Almashadi says when she received her scholarship that in order for family to grow together, her partner was also awarded a scholarship to continue his studies as well. And this dedication to seeing families evolve is a policy I think we can all learn from. I caught up with Dr. Almashadi after our marketing and innovation course to learn from her journey. Enjoy. Thank you so much for having a conversation with me. Tell us where you're from and what it's like.
I am from Saudi Arabia, from Riyadh, a country where it's really hot and it's more of a desert. There is a lot of changing going on at this moment. The word that would describe our country is the amazing culture that we have.
Okay. Awesome. When did you fall in love with the brain?
I have always fell in love with the brain. I had a very strong relationship with my brain as a little girl. I had lots of conversation going on, different groups that always would debate in my subconscious. So, but growing up, I thought that the brain is the most important organ in our body, and without it, we actually lose our identity and personality. So that's when I fell in love with studying the brain.
And when did you decide, this is a sort of career I'm going to go into, and when did you decide to actually study the sciences?
Going into high school, I have done a lot of biological work and research, and then growing a little bit older, several family members had developed dementia and Alzheimer's, and this put me really in a place where I wanted to look more deeply into how we could develop this type of devastating disorder and how we actually could prevent it, because potentially me and or my offsprings might have that inherited type of disease. And I was so interested to know if there were any risk factor that we could tackle and work on while we are still young in our lives.
So basically, your own life journey kind of inspired this. That's fascinating. And as a young girl, were you encouraged to study the sciences? As a young woman, what was it like growing up in Saudi Arabia?
As a young girl, I have grew up in a very traditional type of school and education. Yes, they were empowering women, but in a very like framed and predicted manner. I have never seen myself pursuing my career this far now. If you have asked me, like, what did I imagine myself when I was about 16 years old, it would never be who I am today. I thought that it would be so difficult to, for instance, carry a family life and a successful career at the same time. I always thought that it's either this or that. But I'm very glad to know that this is possible, and I hope that I'm inspiring my children and the newer generation to do that.
But what was the shift from 16 to now? You look like you're 21, but from 16 until now, what was the thing that pushed you in this direction? And was it someone encouraging you? Was it the government? Was it your family? What was it to get you over the top?
The first thing was actually the government. King Abdullah, who has passed away a couple of years ago, he was the big champion of women and women education. He was the one who has started scholarships for Saudi citizens. However, still, I thought that it is something that is very hard to tackle. My mom came in after that, and she was the one who really inspired me and pushed me and reassured me that this is possible. So I guess the government was the one that really made the strategic and political change, and it was then up to us to take this further.
And are you the first in your family to do this postdoctoral work, or were there many?
My mother is a full professor. She works at King Saud University in Riyadh. So I am, from the second generation, I am the only one who has a PhD and definitely the only one who's working at MIT.
So let's just talk about working at MIT. Can you believe you're working at MIT? How amazing is it?
I know. This is something that I have never dreamed of. But yes, here I am. It's an amazing opportunity. It's a life-changing experience. And I'm here. It has been only 10 months. I feel that it's been like 10 years. I have done so much in such little time. People are willing to share all the resources to develop you. People here are seeking to learn and develop themselves further.
And when you first came, people welcomed you well. What were you surprised at how much they knew about Saudi women? Were you shocked at how little they knew? How have they received you as a woman from outside of the country?
I guess the shift that is happening now in Saudi Arabia, typically this year and last year, after the young prince Mohammed bin Salman has been assigned as the crown prince, things are changing rapidly, and he is taking this globally. MIT know about this change, and it's becoming in the favor of women specifically. After I came here, it has been announced that women will drive this month in Saudi Arabia. There are so many changes going on in just last year. And the great thing is that it's happening on an international level. So we are greatly received. We are greatly received as women from science, mothers, and just really people who have passion to change the country in the near future.
If I am sitting in front of you and I am a young woman who thinks that MIT is too far, it's too big, how am I ever going to get there? What would you say to me, just in terms of my goals and my dreams?
Nothing is impossible. Everything is doable as long as you have a plan. Be consistent, be persistent, be very stubborn about your goals, but very flexible about how to receive it, to do them or pursue them. I guess that one of my main missions actually to draw a model and to show Saudi women and women from the Middle East or all over or from STEM that it's possible. It's possible to have a family. It's possible to have a career. And actually, you will be surprised how much people and men and spouses and fathers and brothers are willing to support you, even the government.
You have your three kids here with you. How are you balancing it all? Like, your work is not easy. And you've got a 12-year-old, 9-year-old, and a 3-year-old. How are you doing it?
Yes, it's not easy at all. However, I gain my strength and comfort from them. Yes, it's very easy to stay away from my husband. However, he is the one, he is my champion behind the stage. He's the one who has supported me to come here. And by only looking into my children and the spark in their eyes, I could see how much they understand whenever there's an opportunity, try really to knock the door. Never turn back into like an upcoming opportunity. I guess that we have created lots of nice memories. Now they have friends from all over the world. They have been in the UK for 7 years before that, and now here they are in the States, and I guess that this will inspire their future.
So you've got two career trajectories from here. You're going to inspire women all over the Middle East and all over around STEM, science, technology, engineering, the maths. You're going to inspire them. But you also have your brain research. What are you hoping to accomplish in your brain research?
There are two main categories in brain research that I really admire and love. First of all is that, as I mentioned, I really like to look into the aging process and how we could maintain our brains to stay healthier and cognitively intact as we grow older. The fact that Saudi population, the majority of Saudi population is youth, we are going to have a huge epidemic or a burden in 20 years' time where this generation grows older. So it's very important at least to educate people what are the risk factors and how to manage that. On the other hand, the other main thing that I'm really fascinated about, and it got really, really tackled after coming here to MIT, is really to correlate what we know about the brain science into how to become a better person, how to become a better leader, how really to influence yourself and your career, how to be more aware of yourself and your internal self. And so I guess this is something that I am just pursuing now, and I'm going to take this further.
It's so exciting. I mean, there's so much that can be done, and I'm sure there's people excited for you, and there's so many people around you looking forward. Do you feel the pressure, though? I mean, I can imagine that once you come to MIT, whether it's your mother, your husband, people are expecting big things from you now. Like, you can't just, like, you almost have to win a Nobel Prize. Do you feel the pressure, and are you enjoying it?
I'm really enjoying it. I really like and feel honored whenever I influence a person. I feel that I have a bigger mission that I really want to communicate and a message to convey. The strategy by the government and the politics has already been changed in the last few years, and it's really up to the culture and to the individuals to make this big change. The stereotype that has been going around for many, many decades, and the cognitive fixedness, as I call it, in the brains of people from the Middle East, it needs really to change in order to be an innovative culture in order to really make a change, we have to look on into those three lenses, I guess, of change. So the first one, as I said, is the strategy, and then the politics, and then it's the culture and individual. And I guess it's really our responsibility now to make this change happen.
What would you say to your 16-year-old self?
I would say that I'm very surprised where you are today. I'm very proud of myself. I feel really connected to my past and to my older generation, yet I have great hopes for my younger ones. I hope that I am bridging this gap that has really been seriously big between the older generation and the new one. I would like to go back to Saudi Arabia to have a bigger community of women and men and younger generation and really to bring MIT and what I have learned here back to Saudi. It's not easy for, or maybe not every woman can come here to experience physically the experience being in MIT, but yet it's our responsibility to go back and share this type of knowledge.
Thanks for your heart, and thanks for your work.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, Dr. Al-Mashadi. And before we go, let's hear what my journalist friend, Leon Damanouri, who is on the ground in Saudi Arabia, to hear what women in Saudi are saying and feeling, what they think this liberation moment means.
Hi, Timothy. My name is Leanne, and I'm a Saudi journalist, and I've covered and interviewed several women who received their driver's licenses recently, and their feelings have been overwhelmingly happy and excited for this new phase in their life. And also, many people feel a sense of relief that finally this burden has been lifted. And you know, these daily frustrations are now coming to an end. And the enthusiasm we saw since Saturday night when the clock struck 12 and women were celebrating that it's finally June 24th and, you know, getting into their cars and driving just shows how much they've been waiting for this moment. Of course, not all women were riding at night, but so many were sharing photos and videos on social media. And men and women were congratulating each other on the news because now it's a new phase where women feel liberated and empowered, and now that the government is supporting them and showing that by now Saudi Arabia will not be held back by ultra-conservative mentalities, and it's going back to its old ways of moderation and tolerance. And it's about time this happened, and it happened alongside other changes in the recent years with regards to progress in women's rights and freedoms. And I've met with some of the ladies who drove on Sunday for the first time, and a lot of them said, you know, it's really nice just to go out and not think about who's going to take me back home, or not feeling guilty about having someone wait for me. Also, for working women, now they get to go to work and, you know, not worry about this issue. Previously, it was much more challenging for a woman to land a job just because of the transportation issue. Right now, this is obviously going to impact the economy positively. More women will be able to join the workforce.
A huge thank you to Leon and Dr. Sufana Al-Mashadi for your hearts and your courage. Wherever you are listening in the world, if we would all commit to sharing our learning and our growth with others, the world would be a better place. Thanks for listening. Remember to subscribe, rate us, and comment. And email thoughts to podcast@timothymaurice.com. We'll be back next week.
This is CliffCentral.com.